He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Best Stocks Now show. So it's a Tuesday, August 22nd edition. We've got Bill should be on here in a moment and having a few technical issues there. But from a market standpoint, we are kind of off to another mixed start. We've got the NASDAQ leading the way up 0.33% at the moment. And we've got, S&P's up 0.17% to 44.07. And the Dow basically flat down, 0.03%, down 9 points to 34,454. We've got crude oil remaining above $80 a barrel here at up 0.2%, 17 cents today. And gold still taking a bit of a pause, particularly as rates have gone up. We've got gold at under 1900 at 1892. Treasuries are, treasury is up two bases, basically flat to 434. But again, this is the Best Stocks Now show with your host, Bill Gunderson. Bill, I think you're here.
I am here now, right. And little shaky connection there on the internet. I'm not sure why, technology, but we're here. You know what? We had a really good day in the market yesterday, and the NASDAQ just absolutely lit up. It was about four or five stocks. Tesla was one. I'm not quite sure. I never saw any news.
Yeah.
Did you?
No, I kept looking throughout the day as the stock continued to go up. I think it ended up finishing up 7% or so, and never saw any news.
Yeah, very strange. Well, let's just chalk it up to Cathie Wood buying it, right?
Yeah.
Still,
and for someone who's used to making news, right? If there was a reason, Elon would have let you know why it was going up, but literally it was crickets.
Yeah. Well, anyways, the NASDAQ was up 215 points yesterday, which obviously was a huge day, 207 points, actually. And for the first time, really, since the beginning of the second half of the year, big tech was leading the way. NVIDIA had an unbelievable day yesterday on that big upgrade that they received. And then, like you say, no news on Tesla, but it sure had a big day yesterday. And then, of course, the stock of the day yesterday was Palo Alto Networks.
Yeah, for good reason.
yeah, cybersecurity. They have blowout earnings. And then the fourth big winner yesterday was Broadcom, AVGO. So we happen to own all four of the big winners yesterday in the market. So we had a very good day yesterday in the market. A little quiet today. It looked pretty good in the pre-market. And then we opened up fairly good and then probably have weakened a little bit here since the market opened. And I got to say that the market's more than likely fighting interest rates. We can't seem to get those rates to come down. Where are we at? 4.34. 4.36 now.
In fighting long-term, interest rates, and there's some reasoning behind why the long end of the curve has been affected a good bit here as of late. Initially, kind of with the downgrade in terms of credit, and then tack on Japan changing some of their yield controls. They're a big buyer of in that long-range treasury space, and then of course we're issuing tomorrow. We issue another set of 20-year treasury notes. We floated 10-year treasury notes, I think, a week or week and a half ago. Kind of, if you follow some of this issuance, that's kind of the reasoning behind some of this the longer end of the curve moving.
Yeah, that's exactly right because of all of the supply coming to market right now. And, you know, that is a problem. We got to get interest rates to move back down. If the market has a problem right now, it's an interest rate problem. And I thought that on Friday we had probably hit the ceiling. I still think that the ceiling is somewhere in here, unless there's something I don't know. But, you know, you're going back to October of last year. And even further than that now.
In multi-decade
highs. Last time rates.
Yeah, on some of the long-term end of the thing, we're at, you know, almost multi-decade highs in yields.
And, of course, that's a problem for the U.S. government, which happens to have quite a bit of debt that they're paying interest on. And they're going to be paying a lot, you know, and that's money taken out of other areas that they could be using the money for. Instead, it's just going to interest payments. So.
Well, they're the largest business in the world, right? They're the largest business in the world, and if they're spending money on interest, just like us as a consumer, they can't buy other things, right?
Yes, I mean, you know, the interest we hold, we're paying it to ourselves, but of course, China and Japan and all the other countries around the world are receiving interest from us. So, luckily, at least for now, there continues to be enough demand for our bonds. Okay, well, like I said yesterday, the NASDAQ exploded to the upside for the first time. Really, you got to go back to June time frame. And if you read my newsletter over the weekend, I made a very strong argument, and I raised my rating on the market because of the correction that we had, which was pretty stiff. We talked about that yesterday. When ARK Funds goes down 21% in 4 or 5 weeks, that's about as stiff as it gets. But, of course, that's the long end of the curve, the yield curve for stocks.
And it shows you the impact.
It shows you the impact
of those rates.
Exactly. So it's telling us. I mean, that's proof right there that it's interest rates that have created this sell-off. And I made the argument that I think that the bond market, I think that the interest rates have probably peaked somewhere in here. Maybe we'll get some jawboning at Jackson Hole later this week. But those rates need to start coming down, or it will be a problem for the stock market. Because what will it do? It will continue to constrict the multiple that people are willing to pay, and money will leave the stock market and say, you know what, I'd rather have a guarantee of 10 years at 4.36% than taking risk in the stock market. So that's all part of the equation. Okay,
well,
did
you see the effect you had been talking about the effect that it would potentially have on those mid-sized banks, kind of back to the Silicon Valley Bank issue in terms of having a lot of those, say, 20-year treasuries on their books. And then they, we've got a downgrade today of a handful of those mid-sized banks from, I can't remember if it's S&P or Moody's or which one, but...
Now, I don't think it was on their credit, right? Wasn't it just the stocks that they downgraded themselves?
Yeah, it may have been that. Yeah, because I know, I mean, I just saw, you know, downgrade Comerica, like Comerica, you know, a lot of those names that we've been, you know, kind of throwing back and forth. But, I mean, in reality, where rates are and it's moved up on the long end of the scale, you know, that it certainly does not make their balance sheet look better.
No, absolutely not. Well, why did Tesla stock go up yesterday? I read an article about that, and by the time I read through the article, I still didn't know. I didn't have any more further enlightenment as to why it went up. All I can say, somebody was in there buying Tesla shares, which are up 114% year to date. We have some earnings to go through today. Lowe's reported, Baidu, Dick's Sporting Goods, big disappointment there. Macy's, big disappointment there. Toll Brothers, but tomorrow will be the fireworks. After the market closes tomorrow, we're going to get those earnings from NVIDIA. And, you know, it could be that NVIDIA is grabbing the top spot here as far as the most anticipated, especially this quarter.
Yeah, they need to come save the day.
High.
Yeah, they need to come like you know, Lone Ranger coming through or something, right? I mean, we need need a nice beaten Rays, right?
Exactly. And then tomorrow we get Workday, Dollar Tree, Gap Stores, Intuit, Marvell, Nordstrom's, and then you can pretty much put a bow around the earnings season because all of the big ones are in. Now, when we come back, I want to talk a little bit about this BRICS meeting that's taking place because there's been a lot of hoopla. A lot of the gold companies are using this summit to advertise their gold, you know, saying you ought to buy it. What's going on at the BRICS conference and why is it so important? We'll be right back.
Second quarter of today's Best Stocks Now show, and I believe we've got our technical problems resolved here. Okay, let's
coming in loud and clear, Bill.
Oh, that's good. Let's go to the BRICS. Let's go to Brazil, Russia, India, China, and South Africa, and of course,
yeah, the S is what always throws me off. When I always think the BRIC nations, and then now it's BRICS, right?
Yeah, because now it's BRICS.
Because they're doing the summit in South Africa, right?
They want to compete. They're having a 3-day summit in South Africa that began yesterday, and of course, they want to compete with the G7. You know, they want to be kind of the leaders, the New World Order, they've said that a few times before. And if you watch the gold companies, who buy a lot of time on radio and on TV, on a lot of the news channels and whatnot, they've been talking about this BRICS conference taking place. And, of course, the big news is or thought was that they want to start their own current. They want to compete. They want to take over as the dominant currency in the world between these countries and make the dollar, push the dollar to second place status. Well, I don't think that's going to happen. It's probably sold a lot of gold. It's pretty good for advertising. But it just seems to me, number one, I mean, Russia can't even attend. Putin can't even attend because he's under house arrest. Globally, he's under global house arrest for war crimes, so he can't travel. And China's got some huge, huge problems of their own with their currency and with their economy. So I can't really now if they were doing better than us right now with their economy and whatnot, you might want to think about a little bit about them trying to do their own currency, but I don't know. These countries are pretty weak right now. And then you've got Narendra Modi there from India. So anyways, we'll see what comes from that, but so far we haven't heard much out of that, and I don't think they're going to come out of there with a new global currency that's going to put us into second place. Microsoft and Activision, how long has that been going on? You know, it's
you got there was the one yesterday, I think, was VMware. Remember that one? I think finally got approved. That's the Broadcom and VMware. And then, then today in the news, you get Microsoft and Activision. I don't know. They're going to be on the next Xbox before even if they combine to make games together.
I mean, the lawyers are making a lot of money here. This has been going on for a long time. Does this establish a monopoly? Well, anyways, my bigger point is Microsoft stock, which has been in correction mode, along with the rest of the NASDAQ, that's a nice turnaround, okay? I'm going to point these things out. I said on Friday, that it looked to me that, like, the correction was over. That was the title of the newsletter. Is the correction over? Well, I don't know. I'm not going to tell you, but I wrote it all up, a little essay and several talking points, several charts, making an argument one way or the other. If you didn't get the newsletter, you can go to GundersonCapital.com. Microsoft is turning around, okay? It's up the last 2 days. It hasn't had a two-day rally since the Padres won two in a row. So that's been a long time. Treasury yields climb with the 10-year topping a 52-week high. The two-year retakes 5%. You can get 5% now on a two-year. And, of course, in the corporate world, I think we're going to start seeing some sixes, Barry, for sure.
Yeah, you got, you know, there's a one we're looking at that just under six, right at six. Well, we got an A credit last week. What it was it 5.8? I think it was 5.8, 5.85, 5.89.
Those are
pretty, you know, and sticking in that 3 to 5 year range.
And what makes no sense? Okay, you're getting 5% on a two-year. You go out 10 years and lock, you know, you should be getting a better return on your money. You're getting 4.35 on a 10-year, and there in the middle of 5-year is 4.46. So the best one out there right now is the two-year, the short-term money. It's because all the borrowing that the U.S. is doing right now. Now, I did see, well, this comes from Peter Schiff, so that loses a lot of credibility when I see it's from Peter Schiff. But he says we are what will likely become the worst secular bond market. Of course, he's been saying that about the stock market for the last 20 years. He's been dead wrong. You know, I don't give people a lot of credibility that continue to be wrong and never admit they're wrong. Anyways, he says we're in for a long-term bear market in the bond market. You know, we met, I've always been pretty vocal about not being a Peter Schiff fan. I think, you know, he sells a lot of newsletters and gets a lot of money sent. He basically, at the end of the day, he's a gold bug, really, is what he is. He lives, you know, offshore where there's no, doesn't have to pay U.S. taxes. I think he lives in Puerto Rico. And we had a booth next to each other at one of the money shows. He does not like me either. The feeling is mutual. So what can I say?
you know firsthand.
I went to shake hands with him, and the hair on his neck stood up. He was ready to pounce, man, because I used to rip him all the time left and right. He's been wrong for how many years about the stock market, is that it continues to hit new highs. So anyways, he says that we're in for a the worst secular bond bear market in U.S. history.
Well, and it would be hard to be a significant bear market for the bonds in terms of where we're at interest rate wise. I mean, you know, at worst, okay, just say that rates stay the same. Well, then, you know, you're basically going to be clipping a 5.86% coupon. Which, from a bond market standpoint, right, isn't a terrible historical return. So I guess, I mean, unless he's thinking rates are going to continue to rise, right, in that example, which, by the way, wouldn't be good for gold either because the dollar would probably be rising. You know, that's just it's hard to see where you would get to that, you know, logic behind to get to that measure, right?
Yeah, well, and it's been hard to see his logic behind the biggest bear market of all time in the stock market that has been calling for the last 20 years. Ever since I've been in the business, he's been calling, saying it's here, and it's not here yet. Yeah, now, on this S&P 500, this is a credit downgrade. I thought it was a stock downgrade, but then again, it's S&P 500. And they've been warning, well, the other one was warning, maybe it was S&P 500 that was been warning, saying, hey, we're going to cut the credit rating on more banks. And they did. They downgraded five. So that's going to make.
Yeah, it was the credit rating. Yeah, it was the credit rating. I was looking at it over the break.
But. It's Comerica Key Corp. They're lowered to BBB from BBB+. Valley National Bank and a few others. So anyways, I mean, that I would think that has a lot to do with the rise in long-term rates here. And these banks must be holding some of that long-term paper, which is going down in value right now, especially the long-term bonds. Okay, when we come back, we've got several other stocks in the news, including some deals going down. and one of our stocks getting a big upgrade here. We'll be right back.
This is Bill Gunderson. Thank you for tuning in to today's Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds Now show. I put several hours of research in during the wee hours of the morning each day to bring you the very best cutting-edge stories that I can. To get 2 free weeks of my newsletter, go to GundersonCapital.com. To talk to us about our fee-based only money management services, call us at 855-611-BEST. Now, back to the second half of the show.
Welcome back here to the second half of today's Best Stocks Now show. Well, interest rates have settled down a little bit here. We did hit 4.36 this morning. Now we're back to 4.34, and it does seem to have the market shook up a little bit. But then again, I'm seeing a lot of pretty good charts in the market today. But definitely we lost the luster that we had this morning before the market opened, especially the futures were looking pretty good.
Well, we've got, you know, from an interest rate standpoint, we've got that, you know, U.S. issuance of a 20-year note auction tomorrow, and then the day after, there's a 30-year TIP auction. So, you know, kind of getting a gauge of how, you know, how much appetite there is for those two. And also, as you mentioned, the Mountain Gang or something, you know, out in Jackson, the Jackson
Hole.
I feel like the, all global financial, you know, central banks must, you know, love the mountains, right? Particularly this time of year. So,
anyways, and I don't think the downgrades of the regional banks here. And I also read that the TIPS are hitting like all time highs or something like that with their current rates that they're paying. I think they're at 2%, something like that. But then, of course, you add in the inflation number. And so, anyways, it's the bond market that seems to have the issues, along with Hawaiian Electric.
Yeah.
Hawaiian Electric was downgraded to junk at Fitch on wildfire exposure worries. Well, yeah, I mean, but, you know, look, you've got to have electricity. The fire was not caused by oil and gas, and it wasn't caused by natural gas. It was caused by electricity, a down power line. There were 29 down power lines, so maybe several of them. But anyways, that puts Hawaiian Electric in the line of fire here. That stock is in big trouble. Moody's and S&P Global downgrade HE to junk stat. Remember when utilities used to be like, you know, I mean, money in the bank, you know,
well,
that's like the safest thing there was to buy a utility.
Well, and that was my kind of, you know, kind of point early in this, during this tragedy was the fact that, you know, yeah, I mean, your old utilities, right? That would be your, you know, that was your retiree safe money, right? And
exactly.
Then, of course, you know, then, you know, equipping your queue, you know, getting your dividend and the stock, you know, stays relatively stable. And then turn around, right, and you got what? I mean, how much it was down, right, from
from 40 down to 12.
Yeah,
like
so
that.
I mean, you talk talk about a hit for, you know, a quote unquote, you know, safe investment, right? And so now, you know, folks are completely rethinking that utility market, at least from a stock perspective, because of that exposure.
The liability.
Because it could happen at any time. You know, it's like an anesthesiologist, right? They're always going to get named, in any kind of, you know, suit, right? Or in this case, it seems like nowadays, any type of fire, right? One of the first things.
Yeah, utilities.
Yeah, you're going to look to them and the insurance companies, right? Or kind of the government are kind of the three things that, you know, get wrapped into it.
Yeah, the government always seems to skate, though, you know.
Yeah, a little
they
FEMA.
They refuse to give them the
yeah.
water.
Right.
They refuse to, you know, not sound the alarm. Well, let's be glad we don't work for Schwab, although we'll be affected by this. Look, when we come back to work the day after Labor Day next week, We'll be on the Schwab platform and all our clients. I think our clients are already getting statements from Schwab.
Well, and then yeah, we've got obviously our some clients who also have their own accounts that they may manage on their own. A lot of them have already it's already been shifted
really?
To Schwab. But yeah, I saw the layoffs there, and it, some of it obviously you're combining. I mean the TD and Schwab deal was announced I think in November of I think way back to 2019.
Long time ago.
Right. They're finally combining in that combination. You should have some, job loss. That's part of the synergy, right? Why you come together, because you have less overhead cost. So it's, kind of a natural, you would think it's kind of a natural thing in terms of the combination. It just happens to be what we're, over Labor Day weekend, we'll be making that switch. So.
Yeah, I've got to learn how to trade the, I'm on, credit watch to get the trading system down.
Yeah,
I'm sure I'll figure it out. But I've gone from Scott Trade to, Ameritrade and now to Schwab. And you're down to like three or four big ones. I'm happy to be with Schwab, okay? I think Schwab does a pretty good job with everything. We'll find out when we see how their trading platform works.
Right.
But they're
doing
a lot of layoffs.
Yeah, and that consolidation too, right? In doing so, the fact that they did come together actually, kind of made everyone remember go to $0 trading, right? Which
yes,
that's
exactly.
been actually a benefit for our clients as well.
Yep, we used to, when I was at Scottrade, it was $7 every time I made a trade. Each client paid $7. That adds up over time. Amazon rises as Wedbush adds to best idea list. I continue to like Amazon. Amazon's been through a correction along with all of big tech. And Amazon looks to me like it's pulled back to the 50-day moving average and now has bounced off of that. Amazon is down about 9%. It's gone through about a 9% correction. It's a little bit lower tech than high tech. The NVIDIAs of the world. Now, that's where you saw the big corrections. And then, of course, the Cathie Wood type stuff was down 21%. Amazon has just gone through a 9% correction, which makes it, then it becomes more attractive at some point. Now, here's good news in Arizona. These EUV machines, okay, an EUV machine, this is the bit of technology that ASM lithography has a corner on the market for. It stands for extreme ultraviolet lithography. And I guess Taiwan has reportedly installed the first machine at its Arizona manufacturing hub. And this is what is needed. These ultraviolet lithography machines are what are needed to make these high-speed chips. And, of course, Taiwan Semiconductor, that's what they use. And, of course, Taiwan Semiconductor makes about 80% of the chips in the world. But they print complex designs on microprocessors. I mean, how far we have come.
They took the widget, much further. I always think about, some of those old, economic exercises where you're raising capacity and you got to meet demand. And I mean, in this instance, it's like people are like, man, it takes so long to build one of those things. I'm like, it's a dust-free zone with,
incredible.
This technology. That's amazing.
Well, this first Arizona plant is building 5-nanometer chips, and the second facility is expected to produce 3-nanometer chips. So the revolution and evolution goes on even while they're building this plant. 3-nanometer chip facility is slated to be ready for production by 2026. And Taiwan Semiconductor, a very, very important company in the semiconductor industry. And that's why we watch, the relations between China and Taiwan so closely. Restaurant Brands International attracts a bull rating from J.P. Morgan. Hey, I thought J.P. Morgan didn't like the market at all. Well, they like QSR, and, they like it for the same reason we do. It says, this is my exact sentiment exactly. We sense, this is J.P. Morgan. We sense a sea change. Now, that's a big deal, a sea change. In this business, especially with the appointment of very widely respected former Domino's CEO Patrick Doyle.
It took that word out of your mouth, huh?
Yes. they're just 6 months behind me, in addition to numerous other executives. You know, I take pride in really digging in every day and trying to be ahead of everybody else. And now you're starting. Well, that's okay. You know what? Because we've gotten ourselves positioned right. And now let them come along, all these big mucky mucks, and upgrade
the company.
And we're
much more nimble. Right. Much
yeah.
more nimble, too. I mean, we don't, you know, who knows how many approvals, right, they got to get before someone can make a statement, right, about
yeah.
the turnaround of QSR.
You
right?
know what? And this isn't a stock that you're going to buy and it's down 8% and hit your sell stop. No, this is a. Patrick Doyle was at Pizza Hut. He was
Domino's.
At Domino's for 13 years. And produce phenomenal returns. So, I mean, that's what I'm in it for. Hopefully it pans out. So, anyways, it's good to have somebody like J.P. Morgan agreeing with Gunderson Capital Management. That lends a little bit of more credence to the story, doesn't it? Okay, well, we'll be back. We'll take a look at what's working internally in the market today. This is the Best Stocks Now show. Back here to the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now show. Well, there are a few other stocks here in the news, and then we'll get to the movers and the shakers. Mercado Libre gets a outperform rating. That is the Latin America version of Amazon. It's an expensive stock, but Wedbush gives it an outperform. We've got App. Lovin', APP, getting an upgrade. I wrote about that in my newsletter on Friday, and now it looks like Jefferies has found App Lovin', APP. You can read about that in the newsletter from last week.
Catchy
Lowe's
name.
Has reported. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's for app developers, basically getting their apps out. A lot of it for the gamers, people that might invent a game or whatever. I invented a game. It's called the Best Stocks Now app, and it's coming right along. We're pushing for September 15th, right around in there, and I'm approving a page or two per day from rolling off the press, finally. Lowe's reported. It's up 4% today. Good report from Lowe's, and we know that Home Depot had a pretty good report. Nothing wrong with the U.S. consumer. However, where I see the weakness today in the market, and I think it's probably having a part of this dragging down the Dow, bricks and mortars, okay? Macy's, bricks and mortar. Macy's is down after a weak report. That's a terrible chart on Macy's. Just a horrible chart. It's down 11%.
And they crushed them, like, on their earnings.
Yeah.
But most of it was all due to, problem is, most of it was due to markdowns. So it's, it's just one of those businesses that, you know, will continually to, did you see pull up to Dick's Sporting Goods? Pop, how about that?
That's the next one. Dick's Sporting Goods. Bricks and mortar down 24% today.
And this
That's
is the
a
death.
Shock.
And it was bait, and they're great. I mean, we've owned them. They were crushing it. And a lot of it has to do with, if you read from the CEO, a lot of it has to do on the theft side, which we talked a couple of days ago with all these retailers coming out. And it's like, you know, you've got to get the theft piece under control. I mean, you're talking, $1 billion or whatever the number is. You know,
wow.
It's. You could have, think about, go ahead and spend some on some kind of security version. That would just make you want to go on, do an online sale. I'd rather do an online sale if I was Dick.
Yeah, exactly.
It's harder to steal.
They got to steal it from your front porch. And so Dick's Sporting Goods is just getting hammered. I'm going to say it's not really an issue with the consumer spending because their sales were up 5%. But I think that the consumer is spending more online than ever before, getting it delivered to their front door, as opposed to driving down to Dick's Sporting Goods. J.W. Nordstrom's is down 8%. It's a whole new world from the world I grew up in, going to the mall, going up the escalator at Nordstrom's, the piano player, the cafes, the bonbons, the truffles, you know. It's just a whole new world out there. Now Kohl's is down 7%. We keep wondering whether or not Kohl's can survive. BBY, Best Buy, is cratering today. Well, you know what? There is an ETF called EMPTY, E-M-T-Y, EMPTY. Look at that thing today. Look at the chart of EMPTY, which is basically
now.
Oh, it's been around. In fact, it comes from my friends at ProFunds.
Yeah, and I always just like the names that they come up with. That's a good one.
Yeah, EMPTY. The bricks and mortar stores are EMPTY. People go to Kohl's to make returns for Amazon. That's what they use Kohl's for. EMPTY is having a huge day today. You know, the bricks and mortar, they'll surprise you, though, just when you think they're down and out. Walmart comes up with a huge report. But these ones out there on the periphery, Gap stores, Ulta, Best Buy, et cetera, Kohl's, I don't know. Of course, we saw the demise of Bed Bath and Beyond. I don't own any bricks and mortar stores in any of the portfolios that I manage here. Now, as I look at the NASDAQ, the strength, again, it's in tech. ASM Lithography's up 1.2. Tesla's up 1.2. Google's up 1.1. Intel's up. Microsoft is up. Apple is up. The two big losers today and probably impacting the market are the bricks and mortars in particular. Now, Amazon's not down, interestingly enough. It's getting an upgrade today. Amazon, there's going to come a time in the future when Amazon, they are so dominant, it's just unbelievable. They're just crushing all of the other bricks and mortar retailers. And, of course, that goes to real estate now, right? And the banks that have the loans to these mall operators and owners of all of these shopping centers.
And it takes a long time to work those things out. I mean, just, follow Sears, right? JCPenney, another one.
I heard an ad for JCPenney's last night for come get your kids back to school haircut. That's like the worst commercial you could ever hear if you're like a ninth grader and you're enjoying your summertime, and all of a sudden, back-to-school haircuts. I used to let my hair go long in the summer. It turned blonde, actually, by the end of summer with all the sun and everything, fishing and boogie boarding and everything. And then you got to get your wig trimmed or your mop trimmed at JCPenney. End of summer.
Maybe even take a picture back there. Remember, they could have a picture. You could do some, get a package wrapped. You could get a haircut. There was all kinds of things. You go to the bathroom. Yeah. There's all kinds of things back there in the day, right?
Now it's just like a shell of what it was.
Layaways back there too.
I mean, probably 10 years ago, maybe 15 years ago. I used to teach workshops in Escondido, California, in a EMPTY Penney's store. It was like all weird, all these mannequins there, and almost ghostly kind of. But I taught my workshops, on how to pick stocks, best stocks now. JCPenney's was not one of them, right?
Yeah, no. it's a great example that you could use that as a great example. Right?
This is what happens to worst stocks now. Now, if you want to get 2 free weeks of the newsletter, we added 4 stocks to our newsletter last week. 4 new buys. One was the featured stock of the week. And then, of course, the new macro outlook going clear to 2025 now. I'm looking to 2025. 2023 is baked in the cake. 2024, you've already got a couple of layers of that cake already in the market. We're looking to 2025 now. If you want to set an appointment with us and talk to us about a little bit more active portfolio than what you're getting where you're at now, give us a call at 855-611-BEST. 855-611-BEST. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.